It's who I am, because I'm loved by you.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. Thank you, John. Awesome. Kathy, you said you had a testimony. Stand up and give it. Awesome. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's cool. I mean, God's concerned with the little things, isn't he? Yes, ma'am. Good. Yeah.
And God protected me.
Amen. Amen. That's really good. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to some things. It's like, you know, as you go along, you go through life, and you know what you're supposed to do, but you just don't do it. Right? And it's kind of like declaring what God says over us rather than just accepting our circumstances, right? Because we believe where we're headed, not where we've been, and it just works, but we let it slip because circumstances and life happens, right? Gordon. Amen.
Of everything that she's been through.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, she lost her husband a little over a year ago.
She just, everything hit her at once.
Yeah.
But she still believes.
Well, he's still on the throne, isn't he?
Yes.
Come on, he's still on the throne. It's so good. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, we're actually going to be in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. We've been talking in Ephesians since September. I thought I'd do a little six-week thing. We'd just get right through the book of Ephesians, and it just didn't happen, right? And again, just to catch you up, the thing that struck me as I was reading through Ephesians, and it just struck me how many times Jesus or Jesus Christ or in some form was mentioned, and I counted them up. And in six chapters, over 42 times, Jesus Christ is mentioned. And what's significant about, because the book of Ephesians, we can go in there, we can talk about redemption, we can talk about so many different theology points and doctrinal points, but it loses something if we don't keep Jesus at the focus of everything.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus is the deal, right? It's all about Jesus. And then when we discussed how that Christ was not Jesus' last name, and if you read through the book with that in mind, that Jesus, it's Jesus Christ, but Christ is the title. And the title describes what he was supposed to do. And so when we go through the book and we see Jesus Christ, it's his anointing, and his he was anointed by God to do certain things, and how that applies to us is really important, because we take what he said personally, as we're going to see tonight. God sees us different after we get saved than before we get saved, because we have the life of God on the inside of us. Exactly. Right? I'm no longer... No, watch this. This is really... Did you know that when you got born again and you accepted the new covenant, that you got a new name? You know, I'm not just Bruce Dugan, the son of Jack Dugan anymore. Although that's still a part of me, but I'm Bruce Dugan, the son of Jack, but I'm also Bruce Dugan, the son of God. Whew! Glory to God. Glory to God. That's exciting. That's exciting. Now look at verse 1, and this will come into place. I'm reading out of the New King James. But look at this. The King James says, "Therefore be followers of God as dear children." But that's not... Well, I'll just get into that. The New King James says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." And we think about that, we think, what does that mean? Well, it's really interesting. The Greek word is really close to mimic. So be mimickers of God. What does that mean? Have you ever had somebody mimic you? It's really, if you really think about this from a little kid's perspective, Renita was babysitting, nannying for this little boy. His name is Jace, and he had this little lawnmower, and it was one of those that, you know, you just pushed, and man, you could let him go, because he saw his daddy pushing that lawnmower, and he thought that was the thing to do. So it didn't matter what was going on, he'd be out in our yard just going back and forth with this. Why? Because he was mimicking his father. So when this is saying, first of all, you can't mimic your father unless you have a relationship with him. Right? If he didn't know his father, how could he mimic him? So when this says, I'm looking up there because usually there's somebody pushing the buttons. But watch this. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." In other words, do like God. Think about that. That's an interesting statement. Do or be or imitate or look like God. Now, I don't want to be blasphemous or anything, but if he wasn't my father, I couldn't do the things he's telling me to do. You couldn't. But tonight, he is your father. So what that does is it puts a supernatural element into our lives that if we're not aware of it, we fall short of the potential that we have. That's really cool. Look at that. Be imitators of God as dear children. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Anything my daddy can do, I can do because he's in me. Now look at verse 2. It says, "And walk in love." I don't know about you, but sometimes that's difficult. Right? I mean, you know, you're all lovely because you're here on Wednesday night, but some of those people that aren't here, they're really hard to love, right? But it says walk in love. But it's not talking about you do the best you can at loving people. No, it's saying being imitators of God. In other words, love people like God loves them. That just put it on a whole different level, didn't it? I'm supposed to love people. You know, I told you this before, but I was in the mall with Renita years ago, and this is when the malls were full at Christmas time. And, you know, about 10 minutes into that, my eyes glaze over, and I'm going, oh, get me out of here. Shopping, I hate it. Anyway, so Renita went shopping in a few more stores, and she said, "You just sit on the bench, I'll be back." Right? And so I'm sitting there, and this was back when, you know, goth was really up, and, you know, people had earrings and things, places you didn't know, the big long things that the earlobes come hanging down, you know, all of that. And they're just walking by, and I'm going, oh my God, this is really amazing. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, do you see all these people? I said, well, yeah. I mean, he said, I love every one of them the exact same way that I love you. I said, that's not possible, God. I mean, oh, you really love me, I know, right? But see, there's something inside of us. If we can get our humanity and everything that goes with that out of the way, and we've talked about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, that we can actually have a capacity to love people the way God tells us to love people. You know, last year we had the whole, we were reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and stating that over ourselves over and over and over again. But watch this. In one of those verses, and it changed my life actually, it said that love believes the best of every person. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't always see the best of every person. But here's the deal, there's the potential for the best of every person. And love sees beyond what they're doing to their potential. Right? That's why you never give up on people. You put boundaries around people. I mean, if you got somebody that's addicted to drugs and they've ripped you off 3 times, you don't let them steal your stuff. But you still pray like there's still hope for them to be delivered from that addiction. Right? Because love believes the best. And when you run out of your ability to love, well, then imitate God. Mimic God. Go back to the source of all love and begin to get it from there. Is that good? That's good. Come on. Now look at verse 2 again. He says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, offering for us a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. So, you know, in 1 John, it talks about that love is really displayed by somebody laying themselves down for somebody else, right? Laying their lives down for somebody else. I mean, that's the ultimate sacrifice of love. And we see that in different areas, but watch this. It said that we're supposed to imitate Christ and lay our lives down for one another. Now watch. It's not like I have to do that on my own strength. The way I do it is out of my relationship in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, because I'm a child of God, I can begin to look at people and love people from a supernatural standpoint where I can lay my life down for somebody else. How does that look? That looks like, you know, when you want to get your way, and it's not fair that you're not getting your way, but you should be getting your way, that you can say, well, God, I don't need to get my way. I need them to know that I love them more than I need for my way to be right. Right? So I'm going to lay my life down for people. And that's the whole process of you know, walking in forgiveness and all of that stuff. It's like, no, I have to let me go so that I can let God love through me to lift them up. Watch this now, because this is really interesting. It says, he's given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In other words, the way you love people smells. I know that's kind of weird. But did you know that there were some sacrifices in the Old Testament that God said, man, it's putrid to me. It's a stench in my nostrils. And why was that? Well, it's because there was requirements for the offerings. They were supposed to give their first fruit and their best, and they were bringing them an offering that wasn't sincere. It wasn't out of their heart, right? It didn't cost them their best. And so therefore, it wasn't a sweet-smelling aroma in that sense. And again, whenever they gave offerings in the sacrificial system under the Old Testament, when they finished it all, they'd burn incense and everything to, well, really to cover the stench of the blood, right? I mean, but it was also, God talked about the sacrifices being a sweet-smelling aroma to them. Watch this. This is so cool. The love of God that you have in your heart, if you'll let it out, even when your flesh doesn't want to, is the way that you can cause a sacrifice to be sweet-smelling to God. And we have an opportunity to do that most every day. Right? We have, and we don't have to look very far. We live with people that sometimes we have to sacrifice our feelings and what we want in order for them to be blessed and for God to use us to let others reach their full potential. It's so good. It's so good. But God has supernaturally put that into us. And again, we're supposed to live a certain way because we're born of a certain heritage. Did you know that you're a child of God? I'm a child of God. Well, he says, well, act like it. Act like it. In other words, there's certain ways that because the life of God is on the inside of you and you have the potential to do this, this is how I want you to act. And in the next few verses, he's going to say, this is an example of what you shouldn't do. Because if what you're doing, if you're doing any of the things that we're going to list in a minute, then you're living under the privilege of who you are, and you're no longer imitating the Father that you have now. You went back and started imitating the Father that you used to belong to. And we don't want to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to please God? How many don't care? I mean, I don't know. No, we all care. We all want to hear, well done, right? Not well, you're done. Okay, look at verse 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let them not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. And we live in a society, and it's talked about, it said in the last days, people will become lovers of themselves. They'll leave all sound doctrine. They won't listen to correction. They won't listen to anything. And that's kind of filtered into the church in a big way in many places, right? But not with us. And when I say that, not with us, what I'm saying, I'm committed to God to do what he wants me to do, whether it's popular, whether people like it or not. I mean, I'd rather follow God and follow the example of the apostles when they were told not to do something. They said, well, should I obey you or obey God? We're going to obey God, right? So listen again. He says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, and really this is just self-gratification, right? It's all about me. I have to be pleased. I, you know, it's eat me. And again, we know that that's not God. And it says, let it not even be named among you. And that doesn't mean don't talk about it. That means don't have it in your midst. Don't even let it in your house. Don't even let it come by. And you know this, I love this. We've heard it said, and it's been said a lot about, you are what you eat, right? And that's talking about food. But really, it's everything. If what are you eating mentally? What are you eating spiritually? Because whatever you eat is what you become. And I heard this, you know, in all the books I've read on nutrition and stuff. They said it's really, you aren't what you eat. You are what you eat ate. In other words, you know, if you're eating chicken that's got antibiotics in it and all these pesticides and all of that, then that's what you're putting into your body, right? And so that's why it's when we're looking at the fruit of people that we're watching, listening to, or whatever, we're not just eating what they're feeding us. We're eating where they're coming from. In other words, whatever their philosophy is going to be ingrained into us also. So that's why it's really important that we begin to look at who we listen to. Does that make sense to you? So it's kind of like, okay, Lord, if I want to follow people who are following you, and I don't want to let this stuff in me, right? I don't want to even have it around me. I don't want to, you know. And it should put a guard on our... And I don't talk about becoming religious, but what are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we... Is it promoting a lifestyle of imitating God? Or is it putting us in a position where we're putting God... You know, somewhere on the shelf, somewhere we take him down when we want to be religious or when we want to come to church, but as soon as we get out of church, we put him back up there, and so we imitate him as imposters on Sunday, and we aren't imitating him through the week as a lifestyle. See, I want the other, and you know, like all of us, we're not hitting it all the time. We're not doing it right all the time, but that's what we should be persevering for. But he said, some of these things, don't even let them be named among you. And again, it's all about self-discipline and what we're doing. Verse 4 says, neither let filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, of which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Right? So, in other words, it's important how we talk. It's important what we say. And we all know the Christian shouldn't cuss, right? I mean, we're all pretty aware of that. I mean, that's probably, if you're a Christian, you probably shouldn't use vocabulary that's not befitting God. We all know that. But there's other things that are involved too. It's kind of like, years ago, we all had the little wristbands. What would Jesus do, right? WWJD, right? We go, what would Jesus... But I think we should have, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? And then go, am I imitating Jesus or am I imitating somebody else with what I'm allowing to come out of my mouth? And again... It takes discipline, and it takes us to get to the place where we go, Lord, I'm going to fill myself with your ways rather than continuing my old pattern of doing things. Sometimes we get the same thing over and over again because we're just repeating the cycle over and over again. And we've got to come to the place where we begin to say things that are in line with God's word rather than what, you know, we've always said. I mean, if you ever thought about, well, man, I'm just having a hard time loving them. I just can't. I mean, I know I should, but I'm having a hard time loving that person or whatever. You've got to come back and say, oh no, Lord, it's my flesh over here that doesn't want to love them, but in my spirit, which is just like you, I want to be able to see the best in them, Father, and pray for them that whatever they're going through that they need to be healed of, I'm going to bless them and not curse them. Right? And again, it said, don't let any foolish talk, don't let any coarse jesting come out of your mouth, which are not fitting. In other words, they don't belong in there. What is fitting? Giving of thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, some of us got saved years and years and years and years and years ago. And when I first got saved, man, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the way you talked all the time. Anything, well, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But we've kind of got sophisticated in our Christianity and have left that off, and I think we need to get back to the reality of he's living on the inside of me. He's with me all the time. And whether things go right or things go wrong, thanksgiving are going to be in my heart. I've told you this story before, but I have the mic so I can tell it again. And because it's so poignant to what I'm trying to say, it's like, Lord, I've got to get the right things in my mouth. We were at a Bible study, and a young man, this was years and years and years ago, but, you know, in these Bible studies, we used to get up and we used to, you know, do a few praise songs and then have testimony time and have prayer time, whatever. And this young man goes, hey, I got a testimony. I want to say something. And there happened to be a gentleman who's was the father of one of the people that were in there, because he was trying to figure out what cult his son got involved with. And he was sitting in that room, and Kevin got up and he said, I want to thank God my car blew up today. And this fellow's dad goes, wait, stop. I've heard enough. What in the world do you mean you want to thank God that your car blew up? And he said, well, the same God that got me that car will get me another one. The God is with me whether my car blows up or not. Come on. God is with me, and his life is living on the... And really, the guy shook his head, but he was back the next week, and about the week after that, he got saved, right? Because the life of God was coming out of his mouth. So it's kind of like, if you're having trouble with the way you're talking, put thanksgiving in there rather than, you know, whatever it is, right? And I'm not saying you can't be honest with your feelings and your emotions. I'm never saying that. But on the other hand, it's kind of like, if my emotions keep dragging me down, I need to put God's word inside of me to lift me up. Because God, what I'm going through right now, Lord, I just got to be honest with you, it sucks. But I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're going to see me through. I don't understand it all. I can't figure it out. But God, you're with me, and you're going to see me through. And you know, we all, come on, if you can't find something to be thankful for, then you're not looking hard enough. Right? And we all go through stuff. But it's like the guy who, you know, is on crutches is thankful that he still has legs. Right? I mean, the person that, I mean, you can always look at your life and go, well, I'm not as bad as that guy or that gal. And that's really not the motivation. But you think about it, Lord, what am I thankful for? Man, I got a home to go home to. I don't have to ride, you know, get on my horse and go home tonight. I've got a car that I've obviously got clothes that I'm wearing. I mean, there's so much to be thankful for. But not just that. It's like, Lord, I'm thankful for the potential that I have in you. Lord, I am filled with your spirit. I'm filled with your love. I'm filled with your goodness. I'm filled with your mercy. You really love me. You've adopted me. You've accepted me. God, I'm so thankful because I deserve none of that, but yet you poured it upon me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. So rather than giving place to the other, we guard our mouths by giving thanks. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, for this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Now look at this. And this can be kind of tricky to understand. There's behavior and there's position. In other words, I was a liar before I got saved, but once I got saved, I was no longer called or considered a liar because a liar had been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. But it's not to say that I haven't lied since I've been saved. But that's not positionally who I am, right? And in the process, I need to put that off and put on the new man. But that's not the position that I am. I'm reigning from a position in life that is blessed by the blood of Jesus. My sins have been purged. But I can't go back to that kind of lifestyle and expect to get the kind of blessings that I want. Right? And so watch this. But we've got to be an understanding. And I think sometimes it's like, don't worry about sin. Don't, you know, I mean, God forgives you, God. And he does. But we can't get so loose with that, and we've talked about this a lot, that we lose our respect for who God is and not order our lives to be such that please him. Like Sunday when I was preaching, and it's like, listen, you're either fallen or you're following. If you're not following God with what he wants you to do, then you've fallen from, you know, I'm not saying you're unsaved. I'm just saying that you're not in the right fellowship with him. And if you're doing things that are contrary to his word, right, you're going to reap the result of that. And God is saying, I don't want that for you, so stop doing it. Renita and I have a good friend in Eastern Washington. He's a pastor. He said, yeah, I'm a pastor. I love to preach, but I'm not much of a counselor. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, somebody comes in and says, well, I have this problem, I have that problem. He says, well, stop it. You know, that's his counsel. Well, quit it. Quit doing that. Quit thinking that. Quit. And there's, I don't necessarily agree with that, you know, type of counseling necessary, but there is some precedent for that, right? But I want to show you how to stop doing that, not just tell you to stop doing that, right? And the word is the way to overcome all of that. But anyway, all right, look at verse 6 again. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Isn't that interesting? In 1 Corinthians, anyway, it says to come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among? What does that mean? Quit acting like them. You know, in I love my personal family, my you know, my siblings, and again, you all know I come from a large family with lots, and they're really good people, but I'm different than they are for the most part. And what I mean by that is that I don't always fit in with them. And I like hanging around them, except when certain things start happening that I'm no longer comfortable and it's like I don't belong here. Right? Like when our kids were growing up, they used to do a lot of New Year's Eve parties where they had the kids and everything. But there was a lot of drinking and all that stuff going on alongside with it. Well, I don't do that, so I'm not comfortable, so I separate. I don't want to be a partaker of that. And I just wonder, it's like, okay, God, what is it I'm allowing into my life that I'm partaking of that I don't maybe not even aware of? Because I can't imitate God if I'm letting these things come in, right? So obviously it was a problem at the church at Ephesus. And we might have a problem with that today. Amen, amen. It's something that we might reflect on and say, you know, I love the fact that it says in here that I'm redeemed, that I'm loved, and all of those things. But he says this also, that we need to come out from among them and not walk with them. Look at this. For once you were in darkness, but now you are in the light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What does that mean? You're not the same as you were. You don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to allow yourself to be stranglehold in the stranglehold of the enemy's perception of you. And you're not without revelation. You do know what to do. You do know where your source is. It's in God. You're no longer of the father of the devil, but you're now of your Father who's in heaven, and he will bring you light. But you need to continue to walk in it. Amen? What does that mean? Everybody's at different levels, and everybody has different walks with the Lord. I'm understanding that. But we don't really, you're only fooling yourself if you don't know what you know. And what I mean by that is like, well, I know I'm really not supposed to lie, but a little lie is not going to hurt. Really? Okay. Then you're not walking in the light that you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, you know, a little of this or a little of that, or God's told me not to do this, but you know, he understands that I'm just human. Really? No, you're walking, you're going back into darkness rather than living in the light of what you know. What has God spoken to you? What has God told you? What is, you know, it's like, no, I refuse to go back to that. I'm going to live in the light of God's word. I heard this lady, she's a prophetess, and she was talking. She said, I refuse to let my circumstances dictate who I am. I begin to speak light into the darkness. And she was talking about her finances. She says she talks to her checkbook all the time, because her checkbook tells her something. She says, you lying devil, right? You say, I don't have, but God said he'd supply all of my needs, right? Not just something flipping up out of the air, but getting the word of God to attack the things of darkness that would try to keep you suppressed, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, so my water isn't still. I said, well, that's not really where I belong. Where I belong is by the still water, right? My enemy, I don't care about my enemies. In fact, if my enemies come around, I'm just going to put the table out, right? Because that's where the Lord's going to sit with me. He's going to feed me at the table in front of my enemies, right? So I'm walking in the light of what God has said, rather than in the darkness of the circumstances that were around. Now again, I'm not saying that your life should have no problems. And if you're having any problems, then you're obviously outside of the will of God. I don't believe that. We've talked about, you know, some of the apostles and how they died. Crazy how they died. Some were boiled in oil. Not a good way to go. But they went praising God. It was told, and I read it somewhere, but it was a story of how when the Christians were led out into the Colosseum to be fed to the lions, you know, the down in the catacombs of the Colosseum in Rome, there were all the cells where all of these Christians were, right? And other people, but a lot of Christians there, and they were being fed to the lions as sport. That was the sport. I mean, just think about that. But anyway, they let out, and you could hear them because they begin to praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm being allowed to be suffer for your name. I thank you. And everybody in the cells, all the Christians in the cell, would start singing, you know, the latest worship tune, you know, from 105 or whatever, but they begin to worship God with them, and the people in the crowd were listening to worship coming up. It's because even though they were in the midst of not a very good situation, they were still walking in the light of who they were rather than being dictated by the circumstances. It's really good. Verse 8 again, it says, for you were once in darkness, but you're not there anymore. I said, you're not there anymore. You're not there anymore. I'm not there anymore. I'm not a child of the devil. I'm not on the outside looking in. I'm not. Did you know that grace and favor are interchangeable? Right? You're saved by grace. You're saved by favor. I like to say it this way. I'm God's favorite. I am. But so are you. So are you. So why are you looking at yourself as less than when he's made you more than a conqueror? That's not saying you're never going to have a trouble, but even in your trouble, he's going to make you more than a conqueror. And if you really believe the word of God, which we all do in this room, it's like, wait a minute. Paul said it this way. Man, if you've ever read his story of what he went through, it's like these light afflictions that I suffer here are not even worthy to be compared with the eternal weight of glory that I'm looking forward to. Now, he had one advantage over us. He'd been there. You know, he said, I knew a man, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but it was taken up into heaven. He saw that. But we don't have to be taken up into heaven. We've already seen it in his word, and we can walk in the light of that. And even though things aren't going exactly the way I planned them to go, God is with me, and God is going to see me through this to get to where I need to be. I'm no longer walking in darkness. I'm walking in the light of God's word. God is with me. God is in me. God will see me through. I can give thanks because I know that I know that I know that I know. Come on. I may not be where I think I should be or even where I should be, but you know what I can do about yesterday? Nothing. But I can do something about right now. I can't do anything even about tomorrow, right? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you? Right? Except that impeachment fiasco is going to continue. But I do know, right? I do know that right now I can worship God. I can praise God. I can be thankful. I can walk in the light as he's in the light. I can say, Lord, if I've messed up, fix me up. And he will. He does. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. How many would like, we talked about this before, about the difference between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh bring death. What does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that if you lie, you die. But sowing that seed will eventually produce a harvest that you won't like, right? And so it's like, Lord, I want to live the way you want me to live because I want love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. That's the fruit that I want to live under. Amen? And it's possible. But that's what we have to live for and live with. And how do we do that? Verse 10 says, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. How do you find out what's acceptable to the Lord? Well, you all know the verse, but let's go back there and look right quick at Romans chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. You could all quote this to me probably, but let's look at it. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you, and that word is really I beg you, or I plead with you, or I implore with you, therefore, and that therefore is therefore because of what he's already said. And he said, Jesus has done all of this, so therefore the natural response should be, you know, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So how does this play out in a practical way? Well, when you wake up tomorrow morning, Say, here I am, Lord. Really, I mean, here I am. You know my circumstances. You know exactly what's going on. But I want to present myself to you for you to use. You've made me holy, Lord, to my best of my ability. And I might mess up, but I'm not planning on it. But God, I want to live for you today the best way that I know how. That's my plan for today. So I'm presenting myself before you in that way. Now watch. It says you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or another translation says, it's your reasonable form of worship. It's your reasonable form of bowing before Him and living like He wants you, submitting yourself to Him. Verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, which is what we're talking about in Ephesians, but be transformed. And I love this, and you all know it, this word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosized, you know. And by that, it's like a caterpillar goes up into this cocoon, and then through a process of time, it comes out as a butterfly. It's still that same caterpillar. It's still the same being, but it's been changed into something different. So this process that we're talking about right now is that I can go someplace just the way I am, and I'll be there, but I'll be different on the other side. So don't be conformed or pressurized or pushed into the mold of who you were or who the world even tells you are, but there's a place where you can be changed. And this is the process. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. The word mind there is referring to the soul. But watch this. It's not just your mental reasoning, but it's your attitude about who you are, what you think. Do you hear where I'm going? It's like I can go, well, man, I know the Word of God's so great. I'm the Bible expert. And I just lift myself up with pride. I haven't renewed my mind from the standpoint that I haven't let the Word affect my attitude to say who I really am. Does that make sense? So the process of coming before the Word of God and letting it come into you and then submitting to that, because that's your, Lord, if you say I'm supposed to, you know, get up in the morning, jump on one leg and spin around while I'm singing hallelujah, you know, if I find that in the Word, that's what I'm going to do. For some of us, that might be really tricky. Right, and we want it on video, but the reality is that's what I'm coming to the Word. If this is what you're saying that I'm supposed to do, then I'm going to submit to that. Now watch that, because that's how you can prove what is the perfect. So we say, I don't know the will of God. Well, let me just give you the map to it. Here you go. Right, here you go. Yeah, but it doesn't say I'm supposed to next Sunday go, you know. No, but if you yield to this, you'll begin to train your spirit and you'll know what's right. Come on. I've got to quit because I'm running over, but let's just look at that. I love this because you'll be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've heard people say, you never know what God is doing. Who can know the mind of God? I can. You can. Why? Because I'm not walking in darkness. I'm walking in the light. And the Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, if I'll listen to the Holy Spirit and I'll read the Holy Spirit and I'll, you know, the Word through the Holy Spirit, He'll teach me all things and He'll lead me to the truth. So I'm not going to say what I think or what you think, but I'm going to say what the Word says. I'm not in darkness, I'm in the light. And I can walk that way. But if He says not to do this, I need to obey Him, right? Okay, Good. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's just read, and then we'll close. We're going to read 7 through 10 again. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you who were once in darkness, but now in the light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the truth, the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Come on. We're supposed to, Lord, come on, make me your instrument. Make me your instrument. Hallelujah. I have a relationship with God, and that relationship with God has been amazing over the last, you know, however many years. It's been a lot. And I've seen God do a lot of things. But I've also let some things slip. Right? I need to come back to the Word and say, what does the Word say about me? Who am I? I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I am an ambassador for Christ Jesus. I have the love of God living on the inside of me. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And that's not just saying, well, you know, I can do this or I can do that. I mean, it's really in the when life gets tough, and I know it's gotten tough for some of us, it's like, no, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I'm not here by myself, but that anointing is dwelling on the inside of me. And my flesh wants to scream and everything, but Father, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to allow you to use me, to speak to me, because, Lord, you and I will get through this. And Lord, as long as I got breath in my body, then I have the opportunity to be used by you to make a difference in this world. Amen. Amen. Did y'all get something tonight? Glory to God. In another few months, we'll be through with Ephesians, right? Glory to God. But it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's just good. It's just good. What's that? Yeah. Well, Jesus is coming too. Glory to God. I wouldn't mind if I stopped the series right now if He comes tomorrow. Right? Some glad morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to my heart, and I just believe that you've spoken to every heart that's here. And Lord, you dish out your word differently to everybody, and that's what's so awesome. But I just pray right now that every person who has heard something from you tonight will just take a moment and say, Lord, I'm going to yield to that right now. I'm going to trust you with that right now. I'm going to change to that right now. Lord, I mean it. I mean it. I'm all in. And so, God, I give you the rest of my life. I give you everything. And, Lord, I just thank you for being with me, for changing me, for using me. For using me. I still believe the word of God. I believe that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. I believe that people are still filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in the full gospel, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are working in us. We're going to close right now before the Sunday school people come up and get on my case. But if you're here today and you need prayer for anything, come up and we'll agree together, and God will touch you. He'll heal you. Thank you for coming. Father, we thank you for the offering as we go out in the baskets, Lord. It's for children's church and youth group. And Lord, we just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Thank you all for coming. Amen.